Nobody asked you to say anything.
In 1982, my brother was given a Sony CFS500 boombox stereo for his birthday. It was awesome. It had AM/FM radio, dual volume controls, an LED graphic equalizer, output jacks, and big speakers. And all of this was built around a cassette recorder. With the cassette recorder, we could save the songs we heard on the radio to a tape so we could listen to them anytime we wanted. With the audio output, we could send the signal into a regular tape deck and build our own compilation albums. We now owned the world of audio. This was happening all over the country, and people were discovering that they could build their own little audio programs by rearranging miscellaneous recordings into something that held meaning to them. Clips from TV shows and movies.
Crichton, what are you doing, man?
I've just repaired the toaster, sir. Well, I've nearly repaired the toaster.
Oh, no, man, dismantle him. You don't know what a little bleeder's like.
Comedic bits. Prank phone calls.
But the reason why the curse works is because all children have brain damage.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Yes, I bought glasses there. My name is Saul Rosenberg.
Yes?
And my eyes are going crazy.
Poetry.
Love is not all. It is not meat, not drink, nor slumber, nor a roof against the rain.
And music. These all came together into a personal and artistically organized creation, usually consisting of a theme. The tapes were typically made for a specific person and were meant to convey how the creator was feeling at the time. With the advent of computers, MP3 players, and digital content, this time-consuming and thoughtful form of expression has been lost. This program is looking to bring it back. Back then, we didn't have social media. We didn't call people our friend until we shared with them who we felt we really were, what we liked to do, the type of music we liked to listen to, the sort of movies we liked to watch. We would spend hours poring over what to share and how to present it. We would meet new people and make new friends, and if we were lucky, we could fall in love. All of this could be done simply by handing someone a plastic cassette and saying to them, "I made you this mixtape." I wish there was a social excuse to make you a cassette tape. I teach you all about my life from side B to side A. Fast forward, rewind. Whenever you mind. Ask any manufacturer. The idea behind mass production is the key to profitability. The old way of doing things was to build your product from start to finish all in one go. If you expected to build more than one thingamajob, it usually meant scratching your head each time you came around to the "this part of the process sucks" section. How can I do this so that it sucks less? I can assure you that this is the thought of a worker and not an engineer. At any rate, the theory here is that if you set up stations that do one task instead of building one thingamajob on a workbench at a time, have parts enough to build five and assemble them in a structured order, a proven method at reduced cost to churn out predictable results. Contrary to popular belief, Henry Ford did not invent this process. Eli Terry did it first. In 1814, in the town of Plymouth, Connecticut, Terry built his pillar and scroll wooden movement clocks using interchangeable parts, and voila, the road to everybody having the exact same thing is born. I wonder if it could be shown on some PowerPoint chart somewhere that this is the exact same point where we lost our souls. I'll soon be out of sight, but have no worry, dear listener. It only took 150 years. For an enterprising Detroit automotive factory worker to give it back. Using the exact same highly profitable process, Berry Gordy took his musical talents and combined them with the tried and true process of the assembly line, creating Motown Records. Utilizing an unbelievable house band, Motown created over 100 number one hits. That's right, a bunch of unknowns in a backroom studio produced more smash records than the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, and the Beach Boys combined. They backed up the Temptations, the Supremes, the Miracles, the Four Tops, Gladys Knight and the Pips, Marvin Gaye, and Mary Wells. And I bet you can't name one of them. Know this, my friends, you owe your soul to them. On this episode of I Made You This Mixtape, we will honor James Jamerson, Jack Ashford, Bob Babbitt, Joe Hunter, Uriel Jones, Joe Messina, Eddie Willis, Pistol Allen, Papa Zeta Benjamin, Bongo Brown, Johnny Griffith, Earl Van Dyke, and Robert White. They're known as the Funk Brothers, the house band for Motown Records. Now, what in the wide world of sports is this backing track? Quick, get me the antidote. Hold on, I need to press play.
Money. Lots of money. A lot of money. As Stevie Wonder's Fingertips was at number one, Berry Gordy was grooming even more talent for the streets of Detroit. Martha Reeves remembers how Lady Luck played a role in the start of her career.
Motown was the biggest thing in Detroit. I wanted to belong and be a part of, and decided just to be a secretary. One of my jobs were making promos for different artists, and I happened to make one for Mary Wells, who didn't show up for a session, luckily for me, because they took the track, and it was our first release called I'll Have to Let Him Go, which didn't sell but about three copies, and I think we bought all three of them.
But Martha and her Vandellas, Rosalind Ashford and Annette Beard, didn't have to wait too long for their hit. Their third release was written and produced by the up-and-coming team of Eddie Holland, Lamont Dozier, and Brian Holland.
Heatwave, it was when the Charleston sound was trying to be revised. It has a beat similar to the Charleston. The thrilling thing about Heatwave was the fact that while it was number 10 across the nation, I think, there was a heatwave in Los Angeles, and they used it as a news spot.
But if I have to cry to keep you, I don't mind weeping if it'll keep you by my side. Stand, 'cause I wanna keep you any way I can. Ain't too proud to pay, sweet darling. Please don't leave me, girl. Ain't too proud to pay, baby, baby. Please don't leave me, girl.
Well, that's our show for today. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. Want to hear it again? Or do you have an interest in hearing a previous episode? Visit the archive on our website. That's imadeyouthismixtape.net. We are also available through Podomatic and iTunes. Tell the world you are a tapehead and pick up I Made You This Mixtape gear in our online store. As always, our show is sponsored by the Community School in Camden, online at thecommunityschool.org. Side Country Sports in downtown Rockland, online at sidecountrysports.com. Main Street Meats, located in the State of Maine Cheese Building on Route 1 in Rockport, on the web at mainmeat.com. And our local family-owned and operated Dunkin' Donuts at four locations, Rockland, Waldoboro, Rockport's Dead River Store, and in the Rockland Walmart. This has been a Bungalow Broadcasting production, overseen by Renee Philbrook. If you would like to drop us a note or send us your mixtape to be played on a future show, you can do so via the Postal Service. Send your correspondence to I Made You This Mixtape, P.O. Box 1149, Rockland, Maine, 04841. Guidelines for submissions can be found online at our website. Again, that's imadeyouthismixtape.net. Please provide the story behind your mixtape. We know that there is one. This is Nate Greenleaf for I Made You This Mixtape, telling you to remember to turn your Dolby on and the auto reverse off. Until next time. A social excuse to make you